Please turn with me, congregation, in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 119. As we look at just one section of this psalm, where the psalmist essentially is praying, "Thy will be done." Psalm 119, beginning at verse 33 and reading through verse 40. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 33. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord as it is read for you tonight. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life." As far as the reading of God's holy word, may his Holy Spirit bless it to our hearts. I draw your attention to our text for tonight, verse 34. "Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart." Let's ask God's guiding hand upon his word brought forth tonight. Father in heaven, we do ask you that indeed your will may be done in our lives here on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Father, we pray with the psalmist, "Give me understanding that we may keep that law and observe it with our whole heart, walk in it in every part of our life." Father, first teach us what that entails so that we may indeed pray sincerely, "Thy will be done." Help us in this. Send your Spirit upon us as we strive to live this. Give us your grace, we pray. In Jesus' name alone we ask. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this evening in our series on the Lord's Prayer, we move on, as I mentioned, to that third request of the prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And again, beloved, we must ask ourselves, what does this request really mean? What are we asking for when we say these words? Because you see, until we really understand this request, we cannot honestly pray this prayer, can we? Now, yes, we can say this prayer, of course. In other words, the words can come out of our mouth. But until we understand what it is truly that we're asking for, we cannot then exactly pray this prayer from our heart. So, beloved, what are we asking for when we pray, "Thy will be done"? Well, this leads us into the first point already here this evening, two questions that we must ask in order to understand this third request properly. In this third petition, as we know, we ask that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's that last phrase that helps us understand this petition aright. So the first question we must ask is, how is God's will done in heaven? Because then we'll know how to carry it out here upon this earth, won't we? So how do the angels respond, do you think, to the commands and the requests that God makes of them from his throne on high? Think about that for a moment. And especially I'd like to ask the boys and girls to think on that. Tell me, boys, do you think that up in heaven there's ever a time when one of the angels is so busy playing their video games that they hear God making a request of them, but their response is, hang on a minute, I gotta finish this level first, then I'll go out and do what you want me to do. Do you think that's how God's will is done in heaven? Or another angel is told that it's their turn to do the dishes, and they pout and stomp their feet and flap their wings and say, again? You know, I just did it last millennium. Can't you find someone else to do that for me? Is that how God's will is done, do you suppose, boys and girls in heaven? I don't think so. In heaven, the angel's entire purpose for existence is to do the bidding of God. He speaks, and immediately they are off, instantly doing whatever it is that he has commanded, with no delay whatsoever. They immediately carry out his orders, his will, without even thinking about it or questioning it in any way. Because, you see, they know that God knows what is best. And so God's will is done immediately and perfectly up in heaven. Well, so then, beloved, there is the answer to our first question, which then helps us understand how we can pray this third request more properly. So when we make this request, we're really asking the Father to enable us to be like those angels and to respond immediately and perfectly and without question to whatever it is that he tells us what to do. That's how God's will is done in heaven. Well, the second request then, and the second question that comes to our mind when we hear this request, is really even more basic than that first question. Namely, what is God's will that we're supposed to do so immediately and perfectly and without question? Because, I mean, on the one hand, those angels up in heaven have an advantage, a great advantage over us, don't they? They simply listen and to the voice of God, and he speaks exactly what he wants them to do. We don't have God's voice speaking to us anymore today here on earth. Do we? Yes, we pray, thy will be done. But what is his will that he wants done? And beloved, to answer that question, we must remember that as Reformed believers, we understand and confess the authority, the infallibility, and the inerrancy of Holy Scripture. That God did not leave us alone and adrift in this world to try to figure out what his will is, what he wants us to do all on our own. No, he gave us his holy word. You remember what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, God has already told us very clearly what his will is. We hold it right here in our hand and can read it with our own eyes. God has literally written down his will for us and lays it in our laps. The only question, beloved, is, are we willing to listen to this word, to understand his precepts, to know them? We read them regularly, but are we willing to obey them? And very often, congregation, we hesitate in our obedience, don't we? Because while we might know what it is that God wants us to do, God's will to us doesn't quite fit into our plans at the moment. You know, maybe later I'll follow them. Someday I'll walk by them. But right now, I think I'd really be happier if I just go my own way instead. But congregation, realize that whenever we know what God wants us to do and we refrain from doing it, right then is exactly when we need to pray this third petition even more. Listen to how our catechism instructs us about this. Please turn to that with me in the backs of your Psalter hymnals as we begin the second point here in Lord's Day 49. So turn to your catechism and your Trinity hymnal in front of you. It's page 895. If you're at home with us here tonight and you have a blue hymnal, it's page 61. If you have a forms book, it's page 255. Lord's Day 49. Here we have a brief but a very powerful answer to our question of what is it that God wants us to pray in this third petition. Lord's Day 49, question answer 124. What does the third petition mean? And the answer comes, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, means help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any backtalk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Now I want us to stop right there, because that phrase that our catechism uses, it catches our attention, doesn't it? Backtalk? You see, whenever we feel this inner tug of war over our wills, my will tugging against God's will for control of my life, understand that's what's going on there. We're giving God back talk. Now, I'd like to see the hands of anyone here willing to give back talk to God. Anybody? See, we know better than that, don't we? If God were to appear before us right here, right now, in the flesh, and give us a very clear command, who here would be willing to go, well, God, you know, I'm not so sure. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go my own way instead. And yet, beloved, whenever we know the good we're called to do by God, but we say no, that's exactly what we're doing, giving back talk to God. In essence, we're spitting in his face. And we do it all the time. And this is exactly why our catechism has us pray this third petition. Help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any backtalk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Now, beloved, notice the two aspects of this third petition that we're making. The first is submission, to reject our own will. So submission to God's will. And then second, then obedience, to carry out God's will willingly and faithfully, our catechism puts it. And so let me ask you, congregation, have you been, are you today as submissive and obedient to God's will as the angels are in heaven? A complete surrender of ourselves and of our own will, and a complete obedience to the will of Almighty God is the only proper response that God calls from his covenant people. And you see, if we're not willing to do that, if we're not willing to surrender and obey, then we cannot honestly pray this third petition. And it was this kind of submission and obedience which was the key expression of faith that God expected from his people in the Old Testament. Israel's greatest failure was her disobedience, her lack of submission to God, and a willingness to follow her own way instead. But beloved, we must understand this aright. Israel was still very religious. They would have still called themselves God's people. Judah was still offering up sacrifices and worshiping God in the temple right up to the day the temple was destroyed and the people were carried away into exile. They didn't understand at all why God was doing this to them. But the Lord considered her disobedient. Why? Because while she did carry out an external worship of God, she offered up sacrifices, but the other part of her life, she was following her own will instead. She was willing to obey God in bits and parts, pieces of her life, but not with her whole life. She was not willing to give God everything. And you see, beloved, in our Father's eyes, half of your heart is not good enough. A partial obedience on your part is not satisfactory to Him. Limited submission is not submission at all. And in God's New Testament covenant, in effect with Jesus Christ, the key expression that God expects from us in our following of Him still is obedience and submission. See, God's will does not change down through the centuries and millennia. By their fruits you will know them, Jesus tells us. Our obedience, or our lack of it, will indicate exactly where our hearts are in relationship to our Heavenly Father. And that is why our psalmist in the scripture for this evening makes the request that he does. And this leads us into the third point of the message tonight. And you can put your catechisms away here as we'll be done with them now, as we want to focus now on this section of Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. Some scholars, Bible scholars, have even called this section the Old Testament equivalent of the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. The Old Testament equivalent of the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." And notice all of the requests that the psalmist makes in this section. You know, I've chosen for our text tonight verse 34, but really, you know, any one of these verses could have been our text for this evening, because they're all just symbolizing, expressing what this whole section is asking for. Look again at the specific request that the psalmist is making of God. Start with verse 33 there. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes." Verse 34, "Give me understanding." Verse 35, "Lead me in the path of your commandments." Verse 36, "Incline my heart to your testimonies." Verse 37, "Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things." Verse 38, "Confirm to your servant your promise." And verse 39, "Turn away the reproach." And in that very last line of verse 40, "In your righteousness give me life." Can you hear how the psalmist there is confessing his submission, his willingness to put down his own ways, and how he wants to walk in the ways of the Lord? That's what we're asking for in the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." What tremendous requests the psalmist is making here, and we make them with him. Can you hear how the psalmist is basically asking, "Father, in me, in my submission, and through me, in my obedience, may your will be done and not my own"? And this challenges us, doesn't it, congregation, as to our own willingness to make this third petition of the Lord's Prayer our own personal confession of faith? Are we willing to say with our catechism, "Help me to renounce my own will, Lord, and to obey yours without any back talk, for your will alone is good"? I want to ask you about that last phrase there. beloved. Because you see, before we can make this prayer of the catechism our own personal confession, we have to ask ourselves if we truly believe what the confession there has us state. That God's will is always good for us, a blessing to us. Do you believe that? Because you see, how you answer that will depend, of course, on how you define good. And if we use the definition that the world would want us to use, that good equals my happiness, that good is it means I'll have personal pleasure in this life, that material wealth and health will come to me, that is good. If that's our definition that we use, then, beloved, when we look out at the world and even at our own lives, we would have to say, well, you know what? No, God's will is not always all that good. Because sometimes it hurts, and I don't like it. God's will often includes times of unhappiness for us. Times when there's personal pain, not pleasure, heartache, not happiness. And so you see, from a human, fallible, limited perspective, we would then say God's will is not always good. But, beloved, if we use God's definition of good, as it's used in Romans 8:28. In other words, not what makes me happy, but what makes me more like God. Well, then our whole perspective changes. And understand, congregation, that the psalmist in these verses of Psalm 119 is asking God not to make him happy, but to make him holy. More like God. That is what he asks in this section. That is what we pray for in the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Father, make me more like you. The psalmist is asking the Father to consume the dross found in his life. The sin that prevents him from getting closer to the Father, or to refine him so that the gold in his life that the Father has placed there would more and more shine forth in glory to his heavenly Father and not to himself. And let me ask you again, congregation, are you willing to make that request? Well, but be careful if you do. Because you see, that can be a very dangerous, hurtful prayer. Because you see, when we pray, Father, thy will be done, what we're asking for, instead of God sparing us from suffering in our life, we may very well be asking God to send suffering into our life. Depending upon what sins we may be clinging to that need to be cleansed from our heart and our life in order to make us more like our Savior, he may well answer your request in a way you would never want. You see, since both good and ill are under the Father's control, since both are used by him to shape us into the vessels that he needs us to be, when we pray, thy will be done, what we're really saying, beloved, listen closely now. What we're really saying is that we are now willing and ready to accept either good or bad from Him. We're saying that we trust that He knows what we really need, and so, Lord, do whatever You need to do to me to make me more like You. And can you make that prayer? Honestly now, do you trust your Heavenly Father that much? Do you believe with all of your heart that His will for you is always good? And you see, only the person who has Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord can honestly, sincerely make this third request, "Thy will be done." Only the person who has been regenerated deep in their soul through the work of the Holy Spirit, who has been made alive, brought out of the deadness and darkness of sin, can then say with the psalmist, "Teach me, O Lord, give me understanding, make me walk in Your statutes." Only the person who fully trusts that Jesus Christ truly does want what is best for them can then truly respond in submission and obedience. And let me ask you, congregation, is that person you? Can you pray? Will you pray? "Thy will be done." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before You confessing that Your will is always good. We confess it may not always be easy for us, but it is always what is best for us. And so, Heavenly Father, increase our trust in You so that no matter what You may do to us, that we would know that You are caring for us, that You are consuming the dross that so easily clings to our soul, and that You are making us more and more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, may each one here this evening pray from their heart, "Thy will be done." In Jesus' name, we make this request. Amen.